Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Michael Herrick from Mount Difficulty. How are you, Michael?
Good, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. Today we're going to talk a wee bit about some of the grape varieties in Central Otago and a bit more focus on Central Otago. So how does Pinot vary from different parts of New Zealand, you know, Central, Marlborough, Martinborough? Well, although, do they actually make any Pinot Noir up in Hawke's Bay?
Oh, certainly. There is some quite large plantings of Pinot, actually, but particularly in the higher country. On the plateaus, the cooler areas, there is some Pinot there. But as you say, probably a lot of it's for sparkling base.
Yeah. So how do you see the difference, say, between Martinborough, Marlborough, Whiteborough, and Otago?
You know, I think the beauty or the joy of Pinot, and it's what people fall in love with, is its ability to reflect the region and even down to the specific site that it's grown in. So yes, there is, you can definitely see a large range and style, and this is pretty broad brush stuff, but generally speaking, for me, the wines of Martinborough, that region was the first planted in New Zealand and showed, and still shows, enormous promise for high-end Pinot, but it tends to give a very what I call savoury type character to the Pinot Noir, even from release, which we don't see down in Central Otago till much later on in bottle age development. Mm-hmm. For me, moving down to Marlborough, I see a lot more red fruit characters and some quite pretty wines and much more fruit forward in nature. And as we move further south, it's getting cooler and we're getting to see some real structure coming through and showing in the wines. There's some really exciting examples coming out of North Canterbury and the likes of Ben Hill and Pegasus Bay and all around that area. Mm-hmm. And they're growing in some limestone and they're starting to reflect minerality as well, and I would say regionality. And then, of course, moving right down to Central Otago, much cooler again. We have this definitely the highest diurnal temperature variance, which I think gives a very classic Central Otago bright vibrancy to the wine. They are very expressive. They have a really lovely natural acidity to them, as well as the structure.
And high alcohols as well.
In warmer years, they can be.
Not out of balance. I'm not saying they're not, but, you know, it's pretty rare to get high acidity and high alcohol. Well, Pinot can do that, but, you know, to get those big alcohols and the acidity and the fruit there as well, it's quite a nice, it balances all right. I do worry about Otago Pinot's aging, though. You know, have you tried anything really old under screw cap? Because the last bottle I had that I thought aged really, really well from Otago was a 2000 Ripon. And that was under a cork, and I drank my last bottle of that probably about 3 years ago, and it was, every year I thought it was going to fall a bit, it's going to fall a bit, it's going to drink it faster, it's going to fall a bit, it's going to fall, never did. And it just got more and more interesting as it got older, and then I ran out of bottles to watch it go any longer. But I've got Pinots that I've kept for 5-6 years, and they're not really showing any progression. You just lose the fruit over time and no real development. Have you guys seen wines develop nicely?
Yeah, well, we've been running trials with screw cap for at least 10 years now, and we've also encouraged some of our peers to do the same. And just recently we had a vertical tasting of last 10 years under screw cap with the winemakers to compare like to like cork from screw cap over the last 10 years. It was all done completely blind, and it was an interesting result. It wasn't what they expected. Unanimously, screw cap was the preferred seal, the preferred wine under that seal, under blind tasting conditions. And I think what they expected to see was more evolution of the wines under cork, with a little bit more savouriness and possibly less fruit. But in fact, I think what they saw was better balance of fruit to structure coming through in the screw caps, because there was still actually fruit showing through much more vibrantly in the screw cap than there was under the cork in the same wine.
I think if you did it over here, you'd probably get a different answer there, because New Zealand producers and that like, and New Zealanders like fruity wines. Whereas over here, there's a, I've been showing what this wine to some people, Vinnobre di Montepulciano, and it's about, it's only about 6 years old, but my God, there's no fruit in the wine left. And people go, they either love it desperately or they hate it. Mm. Now, I'm not a big fan of the wine myself, but I know a load of people love it and there ain't no fruit in that. So I think you might find that in some places, in some of your markets, different people actually appreciate different qualities than maybe in New Zealand. I'd be really interested if you ever did a vertical here. That would be quite an interesting thing to see.
Absolutely. And I'd agree. It's a very personal thing, cellaring wine. And the UK have traditionally enjoyed wine with less fruit and much more about bottle age character. And you'll see probably some of the greatest collectors of old wines in the world based here in the UK for that reason. And I guess that's changing to some extent. People are wanting to see at least a little life and fruit in the wine with some time and age. You asked earlier how we see the wines evolve. The wines that we taste going back 10 years, they certainly age very elegantly, and they tend to evolve from the primary fruits, those dark brooding cherries and so on, dark fruits that we see in their youth. And as they go on to age, they get much more forest floor and a little bit of earthy.
Oh, you do get some of those
mushroom characters, and that all starts kicking in.
What age?
Well, we recommend our estate Pinot. It'd probably be at its peak, depending on the vintage, evolving all that mushroom and earthiness from 7 to 10 years of age. Mm, okay. It'd be at its best,
yeah,
and possibly longer, but depends on the vintage.
Okay, I'll have a look at that. I don't know if I've gone quite that far. I think I've got up to about 5 years, and I haven't really seen anything but the fruit back off. So
pulled out an O2 in my cellar recently, and it's looking just fantastic. There's still plenty of life, but it's got the earth, it's got the forest floor and mushroom coming through, which that's the excitement for Pinot.
So I always get almost a wee bit disappointed with some Pinots from New Zealand, because they always, to me, seem quite linear. You know, they don't really show that development. Maybe I'm just not giving them enough time. I'm an impatient person at the best of times when it comes to wine.
I think you're much like the rest of us. And I saw an interesting article the other day in America that said the average cellaring time for wine now is about 28 minutes from point of purchase. Which,
yeah, I believe that, yeah.
Pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Now, I've got some – I do keep some wines for a reasonable length, but I have to see what I've got in my cases. Okay, let's just touch on a wee bit of some of the stuff that's going on in Central Otago. You were saying earlier that you guys have purchased an estate, or not purchased, but you've accessed some grapes from Lowburn, which is a wine region in Central. I don't really think of Lowburn as a wine producing region. First of all, where is Lowburn relative to, say, Bannockburn? Because I think most people who know a wee bit about Central Otago know what it's good at. They've probably heard of Gibson Valley. They've probably heard of Bannockburn. Other sub-regions, no, and Lowburn almost certainly not. So where is Lowburn and what are you doing there?
Right, well, I think this is the evolution and the excitement long-term for Central Otago. It's a natural progression. For me, I think Central Otago has the ability to be the Burgundy of the Southern Hemisphere. We've got many little sub-regions and site-specific vineyards that can offer some serious points of difference and their own unique nature. So I think that's the evolution of the region for me, and a lot of that comes from the vine age. After a certain time, the grapes or the vines have the ability to reflect the region they're planted in, and that's what we're looking for now. Lowburn is a sub-region within the greater Central Otago area, which is slightly north of Bannockburn, northwest, just under the base of the Pisa Range.
So I think the way I think about it is if you're in Cromwell and you're heading up to Wanaka, it's on the left-hand side on the way up?
Precisely, yes. Yeah. So on heading north on the Wanaka Road, left-hand side, you drive in through a little valley into a nice little microclimate in a basin, north-facing basin. It's a little bit higher up in altitude. It's roughly 350 meters above sea level, and it's slightly cooler and later ripening. So we get quite elegant, quite perfumed, and quite pretty fruit. And I think quite different to what we're seeing in Bannockburn along Felton Road there, where we're getting very robust masculine style, all these brooding dark fruits versus much more perfume and elegant, pretty style that you see in Loburn.
Okay.
And what Mount Difficulty are trying to achieve is really showcase and celebrate the differences in each of these subregions. And there are at least a good half a dozen subregions within Central Otago that are all quite uniquely different for various reasons. And long term, I would love to see small parcels of wines reflective of each of those regions to showcase the area.
Do you think it will get there? Central Otago is fairly niche anyway at the moment for wine consumers. I think Bannockburn's got some visibility now. You've got Fountain Road, you've got your guys, there's quite a few good producers down that area. It's not a big one, but the producers that are there are all, they seem to produce the best wines. Well, perceived, my view anyway.
Very generous. Thank you.
But I'm a bit concerned that maybe some of these other regions might just become too much detail. You start getting into the Italian situation where,
Or the Burgundy situation.
Yeah, exactly. Which is just too complicated for enough visibility to drive your marketing.
Yeah, I mean, that there is that point, and it's a very valid one. It becomes quite fragmented. So the story gets a little watered down. However, for Pinot lovers like myself, people are looking for a point of difference. They're celebrating the point of difference. They're always trying to explore why and understand how it's affected the wines. And I think that's the exciting part about Pinot Noir, and I think that's the exciting things that Central Otago have to offer. And that, for me, will come only with Vine Age, and possibly in the next 20 years, you'll see the quantum leap in quality and expression of those sites.
We mentioned earlier about the different sort of tiers in Central Otago. Just before we started this interview, you were talking about how you're starting to expand your winery. What's going on there?
Well, there's a few things at play there. I mean, we mentioned earlier there's the site-specific differences, and there's the sub-regional differences. But even beyond that, there's... which are mostly climate driven, there's also massive soil differences depending on where you go. Mount Difficulty have three levels which are all about trying to reflect those points of difference. We firstly have a wine that is all about the regional reflection of the region, and that's the Roaring Meg range. And the main differences there is the vineyards are situated in the valley floor of the Cromwell Basin.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's further north up the valley from Bannockburn. The soil's quite different. It's a lot of ground-up schist, alluvial silts. It's an old glacier bed. And the nature of the wines are very reflective of that soil. They're lighter and more fruit-driven, and they're quite aromatic and pretty. They tend to develop, or our vineyards tend to develop wines that are drinking well earlier. So they're probably at their peak within 3 to 4 years. And they're much more about, instant gratification and enjoyment. Whereas we see, as you move south for us into Bannockburn, the temperatures rise, there's more warmth, the soils also pick up a greater amount of clay, and you just have more depth and structure in the wines. And it gives us the ability to produce wines that have ageability, and also massive complexities that we just didn't see in some of our vineyards in the valley floor.
One of the things about Central Otago that I've seen is that, the Pinot Noir is king, but I have seen a lot of different white wines here. I've been to your place and tried some Pinot Gris, and I've even tried aromatic Sauvignon Blancs from Central Otago, though I didn't really rate that. What are you guys doing with your whites?
Over the last 5 years, something that Mount Difficulty's really looked at, actually, is developing the white wine market and addressing the natural balance of things, as 85% of the region's planted in red wine, but nearly half of the market wants to drink white. So We've planted 5 years ago now in the valley floor, a little bit further north of Bannockburn, on the Cromwell Basin, 40 hectares of just white wine. So we're looking at aromatic whites that we think and believe are very well suited to the climate and the soils. And given that the area itself reminds me a lot of the Alsace in its climate and soil types, the schist, and parts of Germany, we chose to plant Riesling, Pinot Gris, a little bit of Gewürztraminer, and also some Sauvignon Blanc, which is a great point of difference, I think, from what you've seen out of the Sauvignons that are further north. They tip their cap in the direction of, say, Sancerre, where they're more leaner, more minerally, and more flinty.
Yeah, they're certainly not as aromatic as the Marlborough.
Absolutely, no, they're not. You can't put them in the same style as that pungent Marlborough style. They're much, much more towards the European counterparts.
And are they still quite expensive? You know, are you paying quite a bit for it because your yields are down, or?
Oh, I think they're on par with some of the Marlborough, the more premium Marlborough-style Sauvignon Blancs. We sell one over here, and it's mostly targeted for on-premise, the restaurant trade, and it would retail around £25. And we have another one, which is in the Roaring Meg range, and that would retail around £13 to £14. So certainly not outrageously expensive.
All right then, Michael, I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much.
Pleasure. Thank you.